So, Stephen, your new book is called, upcoming book is called Buddha, Socrates, and Us: The Ethical Living in Uncertain Times. So, tell us, what made you turn to Socrates after your years of studying Buddha?
Well, I've been interested in Greek philosophy for some time, but primarily I was focused on what is called Hellenistic philosophy, in other words, Stoicism, Skepticism, Epicureanism, which were much later than Socrates, because I felt that they were the forms of Greek philosophical practice that resonated most easily with those we find in Buddhism. And I think that's still broadly true. But on the other hand, it leaves out one of the figures you simply cannot ignore when you speak of Greek philosophy, and that is Socrates. And recently, well, in the last few years, I guess, Buddhist scholars have revised the dates of the Buddha. And they now are fairly certain that the Buddha lived from about 480 to 400 BC, whereas previously they'd thought he was living in the previous century, about 80 years earlier than all that. And in making this adjustment, it brings the Buddha, Gautama, into exactly the same time period as Socrates. In fact, they're almost exact contemporaries. And in other words, they lived and walked on Earth and did their work at, exactly the same time. I mean, they were a long way away from each other. They certainly didn't know about each other, but they are operating within a broadly similar world of that period.
Do you think there was some sort of synchronicity that they both came out with addressing the same sort of issues at the same time? Was there any connection?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, I would say yes. I mean, there are, of course, enormous differences between Athens and Greece at that time, which was basically city-states and so on, and northeast India, which was much more rural and much less, developed in that way. But nonetheless, what's striking is that I feel both men were operating in a similar kind of context, world context. And they both came to focus very much on the primacy of ethics. In other words, it's not so much, what you believe that matters, it's how you live, what's the quality of your life. And so the Buddha, for example, at the very beginning and at the very end of his life, he emphasizes that what makes his teaching distinctive is the fact that it embodies the Eightfold Path. In other words, not just a set of spiritual techniques or beliefs, but rather an entire way of life framed within values, practices, philosophical ideas. And in that respect, I think there's something very, very similar about the two men. Lots of differences as well, and we go into that in the book. But the point is, both these figures had comparable impact in their respective worlds. Socrates, as the forefather of the Western philosophical tradition, and the Buddha, as the originator of what we loosely call Buddhism that spreads throughout India, China, Tibet, Japan, and so forth and so on. And so they're seminal figures. And yet, so far, nobody has actually written a book on the two of them. No comparative studies ever been made, as far as I'm aware. And particularly since we now know a little bit more about the Buddha's background and his historical situation and so forth and so on, we can get a much clearer, more granular picture of these two figures, such that they both begin to bounce off each other in very interesting ways.
So what sort of how would your typical Buddhist readers benefit from this? How might this affect their practice?
Well, I hope in a number of quite different ways. I think certainly one way would be to bring Buddhist practitioners back to the very fundamental questions of, how do I lead a good life? And I think that often gets overshadowed by how can I get enlightened or something like that. Whereas if you think about it, Buddhism went off into that track towards more mysticism, spiritual insight, enlightenment, all of these ideas. And of course, ethics is always important in that framework, but it's kind of subsidiary to the primary quest for enlightenment. And I think both Socrates and Gautama, in a sense, live their lives in a way that they do not reductively try to boil what they're doing down to certain key axioms or beliefs or doctrines, but rather as a way of being in the world. That, I think, is a reminder for Buddhists that, yeah, this ancient Greek tradition is one that speaks to us at much the same level, I feel, as the Buddhist one does. But perhaps the thing that Buddhist readers will perhaps be more either puzzled by or inspired by is the fact that the telling of Socrates' life pays a great deal of attention to the role of tragic theatre in Greece. In other words, the work particularly of Euripides, Aristophanes, Sophocles, and others, which shows how the teachings on suffering, the teachings that somehow, which Buddhism emphasizes a great deal, the marks of existence, impermanence, suffering, all that kind of stuff, is perhaps more effectively taught, not so much by, studying texts, but by watching theater, by watching cinema, by going to plays and performances. And I think this is very much part of our secular world, in which, although there's no explicit spiritual or religious or philosophical content to theatre or drama, nonetheless, the core questions of how to lead a good life are constantly being asked. And if you just look at any TV series now, they're basically about ethics. What engages us is how these characters actually respond and deal with the crises and the conflicts and the contradictions that they live in. So the whole of much of television and cinema follows in that ancient Greek tradition of depicting ethical dilemmas on stage and participating in the struggle of the characters to respond to them. And so it's not just abstract ethics or abstract morals. It's a practical, concrete way of communicating such values and ideas. And that, I think, is something that Buddhists could learn a lot from. I think
That's
there's been
really,
insufficient attention to the arts in Buddhism as a rule. And yet, I think contemporary secular art very often engages these questions more freshly, more directly, and in a way that's way more comprehensible.
Storytelling is definitely more absorbable than philosophizing. So that's great. This is a new ethics, which is, well, an old ethics, which is what we need more than anything else in the world right now. Thanks, Stephen. It was really insightful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.